the New Testament to the book of 1 Peter, chapter number 5, as we stand to our feet, going to read one verse of Scripture. One verse of Scripture, but what a verse it is. One of those glorious places in the Bible, one of those promises of God. 1 Peter chapter number 5, verse number 7. The Bible says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. And I want to preach today on this thought. Oh yes, He cares. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for Your love, Your grace, Your mercy. Lord, we thank You that there is nothing too hard for Thee. Lord, in understanding that, I recognize my need of Thee today. I need Your strength to help me to preach. And Lord, we need the Spirit of God to speak to our hearts and our lives. I pray Thy blessed will be done in this place. Be with that one that's here that does not know Christ as Savior. I pray that this would be the day that they trust Thee. Then, Lord, be with those that do know Christ. I pray that this precious promise from Your Word would impact our lives in such a way, Lord, that we'd find great rest and comfort in Thee. Lord, I'm so unable. I need that divine unction to help me today. Lord, help me to preach with power. Lord, with the authority of Your Word. And we'll thank You for what's accomplished. And we give the time of decision to Thee. May we respond according to Thy will. We pray these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Seems that every time I read from the book of 1 Peter or 2 Peter and I preach from it, I say some of the very same things. This is a result. This book and these two little epistles are the result of the Lord Jesus telling Peter, if you'll go back and read in the gospel records, that he's to strengthen the brethren. And that's exactly what Peter is doing. He's writing these words to the Jews, certainly that were scattered abroad, but also to Gentiles as they were dealing with the world ruler or the ruler on the throne at this time, the wicked man by the name of Nero. These believers were going through some terrible, terrible persecution from the state as Nero was ruling from the throne. He didn't want the church to succeed. He didn't want Christianity to go forward. He was going after people and persecuting people, and he was causing all kinds of havoc amongst believers. And so, earlier when the Lord Jesus was talking to Peter, and he said, Peter, after thou art converted, when you turn back again, you know, Peter denied the Lord, but didn't lose his salvation. But he had to come back to that place where God could use him again. And he said, after you're converted, strengthen thy brethren. And I have no doubt that he spake many words that would have encouraged believers of that day. But he wrote these epistles that not only were an encouragement to the believers of that day, but have been an encouragement all down through the ages. And when we read these words in the Bible, we find our encouragement. And here Peter is writing and he says to these people that are going through all the things that the world is throwing at them, all the persecution, all the sufferings, all these things, Peter says to these believers, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. So I want to look at just a couple of things today. I want you to see, first of all, the burden of your cares. The burden of your cares. The Bible says, casting all your care upon Him. We have cares, don't we? Life is filled with sorrow and care, but burdens are lifted at Calvary. I'm glad of that. But Peter does not say, and the Bible does not say, that once we trust the Lord, that all of our cares in this world are over. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that those who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. The Bible teaches us that there will be cares in this world. And when we look at the burden of our cares, we see some things. First of all, we see sorrow. And there is much sorrow in this world, isn't there? If you'll turn with me, I want you to look at the Gospel of John, chapter number 16. Verse number 1. The Lord Jesus is speaking, and this is what He says. These things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended. And listen to what He says. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. And these things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning because I was with you, but now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. We understand that there will be sorrow in this world. This world throws things at us that cause sorrow. And here the Lord Jesus is saying, look, I want you to understand, you're going to be persecuted for your beliefs. You're going to fight the battles. And there will actually be people who feel like they're doing God a service for taking your life. We understand the sorrows of this world. We understand that we have cares in this life. The cares, these sorrows that are there are a part of life. And we must understand that God allows everything that comes to our life. If we did not believe that God was on the throne and in control, we might as well close up shop. We might as well quit serving God. We might as well just go into our rooms and crawl up into a closet and close the door and just consider life to be over. But we know that He is on the throne. Life does have sorrows. The burden of your cares teaches us about sorrow, but it also teaches us about suffering. You realize you will suffer in this world? Notice what the Bible says back in our text. The Bible says, casting all your care upon Him. And in this little book of 1 Peter, this one little book, do you realize the word suffer is used 15 times? You remember when the Lord Jesus said, strengthen thy brethren? It's because He knew the brethren would be going through suffering. Notice with me, the Bible says in the book of 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 11, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Here we see the sufferings of Christ. Chapter 2, verse number 19, for this is thankworthy if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. Verse 21, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow His steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth, who when He was reviled, reviled not again. When He suffered, He threatened not, but committed Himself to Him that judgeth righteously. Our sufferings identify us with Christ. Chapter number 3, verse number 14, but and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. Be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. You know what it's just told us? That Christ had to suffer. We are going to suffer. Verse 17. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God. Chapter 4, verse 1. For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind, for he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, Chapter 4, verse number 15. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as an evildoer, or as a thief, as an evildoer, as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Verse 19. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing, as unto a faithful Creator. Chapter 5, verse 1. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Verse 10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. You ever hear these preachers on TV tell you that when you give your life to Christ, that all your worries and all your troubles and all your suffering, all your sorrows will be over? They need to read the book. Paul was writing, and Peter was writing to these believers that had been scattered abroad. And he said, there's much suffering. That's the burden of your cares. There's lots of things you're going to go through that you really don't want to go through. That's the burden of your cares. Suffering and sorrow are a part of life. The cares of this world are real, and they're many. When you think about all the cares, and we could begin a list, and I tell you, we could make pages of things, but just to name a few, the care of your family. All that you deal with your family. Thinking about what they're going to face and what it is they're going to go through and what life's going to throw at them. Thinking about the cares of the future. What does the future hold? We worry so much about the future, right? What's tomorrow going to bring? Or next week? Or next month? Or next year? Those are the cares of this life. The cares of finances. And in these troubled times, many of us have dealt with financial difficulties that's further than what we ever thought we'd face. That's part of the cares of life. The cares of the present time. Right now. Right here. In our lives, personally. Things we're facing, the things that we're looking at. Our family, our future, our finances, all these things. The things of the present time. Cares on jobs. In schools. Care. Suffering and sorrow are part of life, and there are cares of life. But Peter says this, casting all your care upon Him. You know what that word cast means? It means to throw it on Him. If you were from Texas, it'd mean to hurl it on Him. Right? Chunk it to Jesus, you know? Give it to Him. Casting all. It doesn't say part of your care. It says casting all your care upon Jesus. The cares of your family. The cares of your future, the cares of your finances, the cares of this present time, the cares of your job, the cares of life, the cares of school, the cares of all things. And these are cares that may bring sorrow, they may bring suffering, and you may feel like you're getting weighted down. But the Bible says to take those cares. Peter says, take those cares and cast them on Jesus. Oh, dear friends. We carry them around like some burdensome, terrible, trying thing, and we just put them on our shoulders, and we get more and more and more and more, and we try to carry them when all the time Jesus is saying, give them to me. Give them to me. Why do we carry the cares? When Peter says, and cast them on Jesus. Not just part of them. Not just most of them, but all. There's not one care he can't take care of. So we see the burden of your cares. Peter says to these who face much persecution, go read all these things. Read about the suffering. Read about the people mocking. Read about the things that were going on. And Peter's looking and he says, I know you've got so much on you, but cast it on him, the burden of your cares. And secondly, I want you to see the blessing of his care. The blessing of his care. Notice what the Bible says. Look at it. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 7. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. I want you to take note of something here. The Bible says casting all your care. That word for care is plural. That means all your care. For he careth for you. That word's singular. So you can cast everything on him, but he's such a big God, you know what he can do? He can take and he can deal with you. It's not like you're just one of. To him, he treats you like you're one and only. He's a great Savior, isn't he? Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. The blessing of his care. I want us to look again at the sorrow. Back in John chapter 16, where we were looking, and Jesus was speaking to these disciples, and he was telling them that because he'd said these things, that sorrow filled their heart. He told them he was getting ready to go away. And then here in these verses 7 through 15, he's telling them that I have to go away. It is important for me to go away, but when I go away, I'm going to send another comforter. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit of God to you. And that way, see, when I am robed in this flesh, then I have the limitations of flesh. I can be one place at one time. I cannot split my hand off and send it over here and split my other hand off and send it over here. I have the limitations of flesh because I am a man. I am God robed in flesh. I have the limitations of human flesh upon me. But when I go away, I'm going to send another comforter, and it's not somebody in flesh. It's going to be the Spirit of God. And the thing about the Spirit of God is everywhere you go, the Spirit goes with you. And everywhere you go, the Spirit can go with you. And everywhere you go, the Spirit goes with you. So it is expedient, it is necessary that I go away. And when I go away and another comforter will come, the Holy Spirit will come, then he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, of judgment, and he will guide you into all truth. So he said, here it is. He says all these things to them. He's told them, sorrow fills your heart because I told you I'm going away and you're going to suffer a whole lot. But I want you to know I'm going to go away and I'm going to send another comforter, the Holy Spirit of God. He's going to be with you. He's going to take care of you. But then look with me here at verse number 16. A little while, ye shall not see me. And again, a little while, and ye shall see me because I go to the Father. Then said some of his disciples among themselves, what is this that he saith unto us, a little while, and ye shall not see me. And again, a little while, and ye shall see me, and because I go to the Father. They said, therefore, what is this that he saith? A little while. We cannot tell what he saith. Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and said unto them, do ye inquire among yourselves of that? I said, a little while, and ye shall not see me, and again, a little while, and ye shall see me. Verily, verily, I say unto you that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. Ye shall be sorrow, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, has sorrow because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for the joy that a man is born into the world. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice. And your joy no man taketh from you. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask what you ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. You know, the Bible teaches us here that there is going to be sorrow, but in Jesus, he takes away the sorrow. The burden of your care is all the cares of this world, but the blessing of his care is he turns your sorrow into joy. Sometimes you think, I just can't take it anymore. And then Jesus shows up. And he says, if you had given it to me a long time ago, you wouldn't have gone through what you've gone through. You may have sorrow now, but your sorrow will be turned into joy. And this joy no man taketh from you. The psalmist said it well, weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. I'm glad that everything's all right when I can cast my care on Jesus. He's a wonderful Savior. Peter was writing, and he wrote again of the suffering, the sorrow and the suffering. We looked at the sorrow of our care and the suffering of our care. We saw that. But here we see how that this sorrow is turned into joy. I want you to see what Paul had to say about the suffering. Notice with me what the Bible says in the book of Romans, chapter number 8. Paul was writing, and there's many good things in chapter number 8. But notice what the Bible says here, verse number 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. You will have sorrow, and you will have suffering. That's the burden of your care. But the blessing of his care, when he careth for you, is your sorrow will be turned into joy, and your sufferings will be turned into glory. The suffering of this present world is not worthy to be compared with the glory that built will be revealed, the Bible says. Be revealed in us when we're going to be with him. Life's filled with cares. Cares of sorrow. Cares of suffering. But as believers, we don't have to carry them. We can cast them on Jesus. We can give them to him. Remember, casting all your care, plural, upon him, because he careth, singular, for you. He's interested in you. The year 1900, there's a man by the name of Frank Graff. He went through a time of great anguish, heartbreaking experience. Later on, he said this. He said his whole attitude had become one of despair and defeat that in turn produced a life which was anything but happy and victorious. I mean, he was in it. He was in the muck. He had lost sight of the Lord who cares, the one who knew all about heartache and grief, the one that is the burden bearer and promised never leave him in such times. Every day he would slip further and further into despair. Just like if you've ever read Pilgrim's Progress, Pilgrim would go deeper into the slough of despair, until one day he felt like he could take it no longer, and he had come to the end of his road, and he was at this very extreme time. And he began to sing a song that was born out of an experience just like the one that he's going through, written by Joseph Scriven 75 years before. And he began to sing, "What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear, what a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear." So Frank Graff could go no further. He had reached that point, and when he began to sing that song, history tells us that he drops to his knees and he begins to pour out his heart to the one who did care. And the peace that he had forfeited and came flooding through his soul with a joy unspeakable and full of glory. And he cried out, "I know he cares. I know my Savior cares." Shortly after that, he began to think about that day, about what the Lord revealed to him. And he sat down and he began to pen these words. "Does Jesus care when my heart is pained too deeply for mirth and song, as the burdens press and the cares distress and the way grows weary and long? Does Jesus care when my way is dark with nameless dread and fear, as the daylight fades into deep night shades? Does he care enough to be near? Does Jesus care when I've tried and failed to resist some temptation strong? When for my grief I find no relief, though my tears flow all the night long? Does Jesus care when I've said goodbye to the dearest on earth to me? And my sad heart aches till it nearly breaks. Is it all to him? Does he see?" And then the chorus says, "Oh yes, he cares. I know he cares. When my heart is touched, his heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares." I want you to know something today. Jesus careth for you. And you can take all your cares and you can cast them on Him, because He cares that much. If you're here today and you're carrying the burden of your sin, Jesus died to take away your sin. If you're here today and you're carrying the burden of sorrow, I want you to know Jesus can turn sorrow into joy. If you're here today carrying the burden of suffering, you may have to suffer for a while, but the Lord Jesus, one day you'll be with Him and that suffering will turn into glory, because He cares for you. Regardless of what you're going through, Jesus cares for you, and He's there casting all your care upon Him, for He cares. Oh, yes, He cares. Let's bow our heads. While the pianist comes, Paul comes, gets ready for this hymn of invitation. Do you see how much He cares? What are you carrying? What care do you need to cast on Him? You can cast it on Him and He'll give you strength. Life will bring sorrow. Life will bring suffering. But dear friend, one of these days we'll see Him face to face. And when we do, we'll realize all the sorrow and all the suffering we faced because of our faith in Christ will be worth every moment of trial. But I believe many of us will see when He looks at us and say, "Why didn't you give that care to me? I cared so much for you." Sometimes we feel like nobody cares. But I want you to understand that the Bible teaches us that Jesus cares. Nobody else may, but He cares. Today, why don't you come to Him? Why don't you cast your care on Him? He cares so much for you. Father, in Jesus' name, we give this time to Thee. May we be obedient, and may Thy will be done. Help us, Lord, today to not walk out of here carrying these cares, but, Lord, walk out with relief, knowing that we've given these cares to You. And while the world may hurl their stones at us, we're just trusting You to see us through and let You carry us. Thank You, Lord, for Your promise. Many they be, but Lord, may we live believing each one of them. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I do pray. With heads bowed and